chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, y'all been sitting for a while. Amen? So they're getting kind of comfortable over there. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, let's look at a couple of verses together. Begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." I want you to look at verse 19 as well. The Bible says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I want to just ask you this question real quickly. Can the silence of Christmas last throughout the new year? Can the silence of Christmas last throughout the entire year? Let's pray and ask God to help us. All right, Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for all the great preaching that we've heard tonight. Thank you for these men of God. And I pray, God, you continue to use them and bless them. And Father, I pray that every word, God, that's been preached here tonight, that, God, it would be applied to our hearts and our lives. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And then, God, we pray for Pastor as he comes and closes this evening out. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the year of 2013. Thank you, Lord, for all the people that have been saved, all the lives that have been helped and touched. And God, we just pray that if you tarry your coming, Lord, we pray that 2014 would even be greater in ministry. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. When Joseph Moore and Franz Gruber pulled their talents together to compose the song Silent Night, little did they realize in that little humble church back in 1818 there in South Germany that that song was literally going to be a major influence in people's lives. And eventually this song certainly has become one of the greatest Christmas songs that we certainly do sing here in December. And I want you to know that this song has become so popular that all of the major languages all around the world now take the song, have composed the song Silent Night. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the song Silent Night, especially in 2013, how many would agree that those words, silence, certainly is appealing in today's culture? I can tell you that it seems like the older that I get, the quieter that I like my music. I know that that's not hard to believe, but I promise you, there's times in my life when I just enjoy the silence. And I can tell you that at any given moment, you know, especially living in Northwest Indiana, there's no doubt about it that you'll hear airplanes going by, you'll hear the screeching of brakes, you'll hear the traffic jams outside. When you come to the church, you hear the drums, you hear the music, you hear the singing. Sometimes you hear long-winded preaching. Somebody say amen right there. And sometimes if the long-winded preaching gets too long, you may hear somebody snoring in the service. But there's all the time noise that is going on. And so silence certainly does appeal to us, especially in 2013. And I was reading a story the other day about a lady by the name of Phoebe Brown. And Phoebe Brown, who was a farmer's wife and the mother of a large family, naturally her days were very, very busy tending to her family. But by the end of the day, her body was tired and her nerves were shot trying to take care of the children all the time, that each day there at sunset, she walked down her favorite road and picked a quiet spot among some trees. And there she always just enjoyed taking that silence and began praying and talking to the Lord. And in that experience, she began to pin down some words one evening after praying to the Lord. And this is what she said. She said, "I love to steal a while away from every encumbering care and spend the hour of departing day in humble, reverent prayer. If chosen men had never been alone in deepest silence, open door to God, no greatness ever had been dreamed or done." When I read that phrase, what caught my attention was the little phrase, "in deepest silence, open door to God." I can tell you that when I read about the events of the first Christmas, I can tell you that the Word of God, my friend, was fascinating when I began to read about the characters that were found there in the story of the Word of God. And you, as you study about the innkeeper, when you find out about Mary and Joseph, when you find out about the shepherds, when you find out about the wise men, you cannot help but see that there were many of them that in this deepest silence on that Christmas night, that many of them were open-doored to God, if you will. And I can tell you that, listen, as I begin to read through the story about the amazing birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reminded that on that silent night there in Bethlehem, that thank God that the silence was broken that night. And I'm so grateful that the voice of prophecy, that the voice of promise, and thank God the voice of peace was heard that night on that starry night there in Bethlehem. And here you and I are here tonight, thank God, able to rejoice over the fact of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord came, thank God, that you and I might have hope and that you and I might be able to celebrate His birth because of who He was and what He was able to accomplish at the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so in Luke chapter number 2, there's a couple of scenes that I want you to just take a look at very quickly, and then I want to hear what Pastor Clemens got to preach to us tonight as well. But I want you to think about number 1 in verse number 7. I want you to look at the silence of Bethlehem's stall in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now I want you to understand that something that's amazing about this story is this. Is did you know that 700 years before this event actually took place, did you know that there were Old Testament prophecies that was given, number 1, in the book of Isaiah? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Amen. So not only did Isaiah give us the information 700 years before the actual event took place, but Micah the prophet also gave you and I some insight that the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was coming. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says to you and I over in the book of Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2, not only did Micah reveal what would happen, but I want you to know he also revealed where it was going to happen as well. In fact, the Bible says in Micah 5, 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Euphrates, though thou be little among thou thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." Amen. Now all of the scriptures, I can tell you, especially those who were scripturally informed Jews, I suppose, they were looking for certain facts about Messiah coming. They understood that the Word of God and that the Old Testament prophecy had been given in order for them to be looking for the Messiah to come. Now, we know that the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter number 1 that Jesus came unto His own and His own received Him not. There are still Jews all across the world that never believed that Messiah came to begin with. But I want to point out something very, very clearly to all of us here tonight that is found in the book of Isaiah and found in the book of Micah to help you and I to understand that the one that came, thank God, over 2,000 years ago was the true Messiah, was the true and living God, and thank God He came to redeem lost humanity unto Himself. You say, "Preacher, what was it that He gave?" Well, number 1, they knew that He would come from the royal line of David. That was the first thing. The second thing was that He would reign from the throne in Jerusalem. Third of all, and because of Micah's prophecy, faithful believing Jews were certain as to where the Messiah would be born. Now I want you to think about this. If the events of the first Christmas would have been different in any way, Christ would not have been born in Bethlehem. God orchestrated Joseph and Mary's visit to Bethlehem and the circumstances related to it in such a way that His Son was born exactly according to plan. Amen. Now that ought to make somebody shout in this place tonight. Amen. I want you to think about what Dr. Jeremiah said. David Jeremiah said this. He said, "If the conception of the virgin birth had taken place 6 months earlier, Jesus would have been born in Nazareth of Galilee and carried to Bethlehem in Mary's arms. If the conception had taken place 6 months later, Mary would have already returned to Nazareth and the babe would have been born in Nazareth of Galilee. But the edict went out and conception took place. At exactly the right moment, Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem of Euphrates. And at that moment in time, as Micah the prophet foretold, Jesus Christ was born and, thank God, became one of us. Amen. And may I say to you that the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 7, notice what it says. The Bible says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son. That's very important to underscore in your Bible. It was not the baby of Mary and Joseph, but the Bible says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son. You see, I can tell you that the seed, thank God, of that child was placed there by the Holy Ghost of God. And that's why the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be preached and stood upon in churches all across the country, my friend, because our Savior was not born into sin, amen? But thank God He came for you and I. He came that you and I might be saved, and thank God that we may have life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He came sinless, spotless, Lamb of God, amen? And so I want you to think that Mary alone in this quiet place, in a moment of silence, she brought forth, thank God, this child. And one preacher said it this way, and I love what he said. He said, it was that cry that gave hope to a lost world. It was that cry that said redemption was on its way. It was that cry that declared that God was speaking and crying out to us. It was the cry that the Messiah had come. It was the cry that God had become human, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, when I could not get to God because of the sin that was in my life, thank God, He came to me. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's why I rejoice in the Lord. I can tell you that Charles Spurgeon preached years ago a message entitled, God with Us. And Spurgeon made this statement. He said, put me in the desert where vegetation grows not, I can still say, God with us. Put me on the wild ocean and let my ship dance madly on the waves, I can still say, Emmanuel, God with us. Mount me on the sunbeam and let me fly beyond the western sea, still I will be able to say, God with me. Let my body dive down into the depths of the ocean and let me hide in its caverns, still I can say as a child of God that God is with me. Yea, and in the grave, sleeping there in corruption, still I can see the footmarks of Jesus. He trod the path of all of His people, and still His name is God with us. Amen. He came to us. And I want you to know that the silence of Bethlehem's shepherds are found in verses 8 through 14. Now, I want you to understand that when you read that story, you'll find there that Luke records that shepherds were out in the fields and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I want you to know that there was nothing special that was supposed to happen that night. This was just another one of those nights when they were just attending to their flock that night. But the Bible says that all of a sudden, in this quiet of the night, thank God, that the hillside there in Bethlehem that evening, thank God, it was interrupted. And I'm so grateful, thank God, that just as the baby had broken the silence at His birth, thank God the heavenly choirs are the ones that broke the silence on that hillside that night. And I can tell you that, listen, when we must understand that when God speaks, listen, people ought to rejoice. Amen. And when God be, and I'm so grateful that when God spoke to me in my sin, when God spoke to me in my depravity, I'm so grateful and thankful tonight, my friend, that listen, it causes me to rejoice. Amen. It causes me to be able to sit and listen to 8 or 9 sermons tonight. Amen. And rejoice over the fact, my friend, that this thing should never get old to us. Amen. But He came to us. Amen. He came to us. You say, what's so incredible about the story? I can tell you that in that day, shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean. I want you to think about this. Number one, they were not allowed to worship in the temple. That's the shepherds. Number two, they were not allowed to go into the court and bear witness because they were the least in Jewish culture. So I want you to think about this. So God, who chose Bethlehem, the least of all the cities, decides that He's going to choose the shepherds who were the least of all men. Amen. And in the quietness of a silent night, God broke in upon the countryside, thank God, with the angelic host, praising God and giving the very first gospel message that had ever been preached, thank God, about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But you'll notice the response of the shepherds in verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem," now get this, "and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord hath made known unto us." Now this word "thing" there in this passage, it denotes much more, I suppose, as one preacher said, in Greek than it does in English. In fact, I can tell you that the term literally, the word "thing" here, "let us see this thing which has come to pass," the word "thing" here literally means word, or it carries the idea of a reality. So in other words, the shepherds understood that they had received a word from God. They understood that the reality, thank God, of the Messiah, that He had come and He was born. Amen. And so I want you to think about this. Could it be here tonight that we could say, each one of us in this building tonight, let us go into Gary, Indiana, and let us allow people to be able to see the reality. Let the world be able to see, thank God, that this thing that has come to pass, that God has made known unto all of us in this building here tonight, that He is alive, that He is alive, and that if Gary, Indiana, if Northwest Indiana, if Chicago, if the world's ever going to change, the reality has got to be brought forth, that the Word, thank God, has come. Hallelujah. And thank God the Word, my friend, is the thing that will change the heart and the life of every person, my friend, that is born on planet Earth. If we want 2014 to be the greatest year of our ministry, the greatest year of our church, may I say to you, let the world know, thank God, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus still saves. Amen. Mary pondered all these things in her heart. I wonder to myself, I wonder how much more you'll ponder the things of the Lord this year. I wonder how much more you'll stop and take the time this year, my friend, to be able to realize just how good God is. Just how good God has been to all of us in this building here tonight. May I say to you, it's a crying shame when we get saved by God's grace. Yes, we begin to learn a few things, but you know what happens so often, my friend? We sit on a pew and that's all we ever learn about the Lord. But boy, wouldn't it be great for us to just ponder all the things that God has done for us. The things that God is willing to do with each one of us. When we'll just open up our hearts. Is the silence of your Christmas, has it broken? Will you allow, thank God, this world to know this year, thank God, that Jesus still changes lives. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you. Amen. Amen.